Colossians chapter number 3. We'll continue where we left off. I've been enjoying our time in the book of Colossians. It's one of my favorite books. Not my favorite book, but it's one of them. But I always enjoy when the Lord shows us something. And I enjoy it even more when we catch a hold of it and actually obey. Amen. It's good to the Lord's given us a copy of His holy preserved word that he was so gracious to let us have a copy of. And I believe that with all my heart, and I hope you do as well. Let's pray tonight and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight again for your word and for your truth. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, bind the devil off this time now. Lord, we know the devil don't like this. And Lord, tonight especially, as we speak on this topic, Lord, that Lord, the devil's behind and he's the master of it. He's the father of it. The Bible teaches us. And I pray tonight, God, that Lord, if there's some here that struggle with this issue, God, that many people struggle with, but very few are going to ever admit it. But God, I just pray tonight, God, you'll convict the hearts of your people tonight, Lord, and turn people back to you. And Lord, if they are struggling with this tonight, Lord, they don't need to be ashamed. The devil wants them to be ashamed and guilt. And Lord, we know guilt's from the devil, but Lord, conviction's from your Holy Spirit. And we thank you so much for it. And I pray, God, tonight, if we are dealing with this, Lord, that you'll just do that. Convict us, Lord. Turn us back to the truth. Lord, we know thy word is truth, and we thank you for it. Now, Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit tonight. Lord, thank you so much for what you're doing in our church. Lord, thank you for the building that's going up. Lord, the vision, Lord, that we have here to see souls saved. I thank you for giving us the ability to do that. I thank you for people that give, Lord, and give willingly, not grudgingly, Lord, that give out of the abundance that you've given them. And Lord, I thank you for blessing our church. Lord, we ask you just to meet with us now. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Colossians 3. We'll start there in, hello, Miss Kathy. Start there in verse number 8. We started there a couple weeks ago. We've dealt with verse number 8 the last couple of weeks. The Bible says, but now ye also put off all these, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. We dealt with all those in the last couple of weeks. But in verse number 9, the Bible says, lie not one to another. Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about some things that we as individuals, as born-again believers, should be putting off. Paul's here talking to the church of Colossae. He's dealt with the issue of anger. He's dealt with wrath. He's dealt with malice. He's dealt with filthy communication. He's dealt with blasphemy. If you look all the way back in verse number 5, the Bible says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Look, if he's dealing with all these things and he's coming into this church preaching these issues, you know what that means? There must be going on. All of these things that he's telling this church not to do is going on within the church. And that's what I want you to understand tonight. Paul's not talking to lost people here. He's not preaching to Hollywood. Y'all all right? He's preaching to born again believers. He's preaching to people that are saved, the local church. And tonight, I think God's given us this scripture, and I think we can glean something from verse number 9. He dealt with all those issues, but then he said, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now, I'm sure we could start all the way from up here on the stage with your preacher and go all the way back to Miss Jolene, and every single one of us could tell you a story about how we've lied before. Amen. Some of them would be very funny. I might share one with you tonight. I don't know. You might get lucky on that. But, you know, some of them end funny. But here's the reality. Lies hurt, do they not? They hurt you. They hurt everybody involved. And you know you got to cover up a lie with another what? Lie. But see, the reality is lying is a sin. And it is something that many, many, many men and women deal with. There's habitual liars, people that'll lie all the time, out of habit. You ever known someone to lie for absolutely no reason? They'll just make up a story and say, hey, this and this and this and this happened, and you know it's not true. You know, I was talking to my preacher friend of mine today, and I was telling him, he calls me about every Wednesday, and he says, hey, what you preaching on tonight? And I told him, and he said, hey, I got a good story to tell you about that. He said, this lady came and she told us, she said, she sat us down. She was interested in working in our nursery. She married one of the men in our church. And she said, I got to tell this story that happened in the nursery where I used to work back in such and such town. And she said, I was doing CPR on a baby in the nursery and the baby passed away. And immediately he was like, I don't think that's true. Well, then she came back with another story. And then he sat her down in the office and he sat her down and talked to her husband and said, look, I don't think this is true. And so what does he do? He calls the pastor back at the other church and says, listen, there's this lady here. She wants to work in our ministry. And she says, such and such happened. Is this true? And the preacher said, not to my knowledge. And he's been pastoring there 30 years. This lady's in her 30s. This has never happened. You know, so he sits her down in the office and he says, just tell me how traumatizing that was to you. She goes, oh, it wasn't that big a deal. I deal with trauma all the time. He said, can I tell you something? He said, ma'am, and her husband's sitting there. He said, the reason this wasn't very traumatizing to you is because it wasn't true. And you know what happened? She began to speak some real truth at this point. And you know, people that lie, normally, this is sad to say, but they lie for a reason. They lie to cover up something, right? They're trying to hide something. Sometimes it may be a hurt from way, way, way back when. And did you know that a half-truth is a whole lie? So lying tonight, I want to talk about lying and the dangers of lying and just what does the Bible say about lying? Lie not one to another. What does the Bible say? Well, number one, can I say this? God hates lying. Go with me to the book of Proverbs tonight. Proverbs chapter number 6. 5 points tonight. I'll try to get them done by 7:30, I promise. Proverbs chapter number 6. Number one tonight, God hates lying. You know, I think God dislikes all sin, but there are 7 things in the Bible that God hates. Proverbs chapter number 6 and verse number 16, our Bible says, these 6 things doth the Lord what? Hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look, what's number 2? A lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. And this last one here, man, we could preach on for hours and hours and hours. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. But we're not talking about that tonight. I want to show you that God hates lying. What does hate mean? It means to dislike intensely or passionately. To feel extreme aversion for or extreme hostility towards. God hates a lying tongue. How many ever known someone that lied to them? And you found out they lied to you, and how many liked it when you found out you were lied to? You know, it don't matter if it's your wife, your husband, your kid, your boss, your friend, somebody you don't like. You feel the same about every single person that lies to you. And see, there's some problems. I don't want to get ahead of myself tonight, but there's some problems with lying to someone one time. What you do is you break what we call what? Trust. And trust is not easily earned, is it? It's like when a kid breaks your heart and they tell you, oh, I didn't do that, Dad, and you believe them because they're your kid. No way, you know what I mean? Anybody ever been here? You believed them and you were wrong for believing them. In your inner being, God said, hey, dummy, listen, he's lying. And you're like, nope, 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 that's my son. He would never lie to me. Anybody ever made that mistake? Often. And then when you find out they lied to you, you feel twice as crazy because you believed them, and then you're more angry at them because they lied and they broke your heart and they broke your trust and the relationship's not the same. And the next time they come back to you, say, hey, son, I heard this was going on and I really want to believe you, but I just don't know if I do. You know what I'm talking about? There's nothing worse than not being able to trust someone, is there? Well, look, within our church, why is it that Paul had to come to a church and preach on lying not one to another? You know, as a group of believers, we should be unified around the idea that God is good, the devil's bad, hell is hot, heaven is to be gained, souls are lost, and it's our job to see them saved. That's it. That's all we need to be worrying about. If we're worried about anything else, we have the wrong motive. But why would we lie to each other? Can I say this, number 2, lying lips are an abomination. Flip over to Proverbs chapter 12. Just a few chapters over to your right there. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination. What is an abomination? It's a thing that causes distrust or hatred. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22, the Bible says, lying lips are abomination to the what? But they that deal truly are his what? So let me ask you this. Would you rather be what the Bible calls an abomination to the Lord if you're a liar and you practice lying and you think lying's good and you lie all the time and, well, no one knows I'm lying. That's not true. God knows you're a liar. You may die and nobody on earth ever know that you told a lie, but God knows and you just died an abomination to him. But you know what? He says, those that are in truth are his delight. I don't know about you, Brother Blake, but I'd like to think that the Lord delights in me. And I don't deserve any of it, but I don't want to be an abomination to God. I don't want to be recognized as a liar. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. We're getting somewhere, I promise. Number three, this is what you better pay attention to. All of your lies will be made known. You know, the Bible says, be sure your sin will what? Find you out. Look with me in the book of Luke, chapter number 8 tonight. I know, a lot of Bible tonight, but look, I don't want you to trust me on this thing. I want you to trust the Lord. Luke 8, verse number 17. All of your lies will be made known. And the Lord goes even a little further than that. In Luke 8 and verse 17, the Bible says, for nothing is what? Say it with me, church. Nothing is what? That shall not be made manifest. Neither anything what? Hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Now I wonder, church, how many of you have ever lied before? Let's just back up a little. Raise your hands if you've lied, okay? Now look, how many got away with it for a while? Let's just, come on, there we go. Now how many remember when you were just about sure you were about to get caught in your lie? You remember that feeling? You're like, oh no, mom and dad's about to figure this out. My teacher's about to find out. A preacher's going to find out. My wife's going to find out. My husband's going to find out. Mom and dad's going to find out. You know what I'm talking about? That feeling where you're just like, I don't know how many more lies I can tell to cover this up. And then you get caught, and what do you feel like? I mean, we could go around the room and say, what do you feel like? We had no telling how many answers we'd get. But we feel about this big, don't we? We feel terrible because now we know we have disappointed people. And here's the problem. You disappoint people that you love. When we lie to our friends, even worse, when we lie in our marriages to our spouse. Listen, that's one of the hardest things to gain back is a person's heart. You spend all those years cherishing her and cherishing him, doing anything you can to make her or him happy. And then 20 years into your marriage, you start having secrets and you lie. And she finds out and now she don't trust you anymore and you don't know why my wife doesn't trust me. Well, it's because you're a liar. And you don't know why my husband won't just believe me. Well, because you're a liar. I don't know why mom and dad won't believe anything I say. Why they don't believe I'm where I say I am every single night. Well, because you're a liar. You know what I'm talking about? And once you've established that you're a liar, what are you? A liar. Amen? In Acts 5, 1 through 11, let's look at some secrets that got revealed. Go there, Acts chapter number 5. You know the story of Ananias and Sapphira. It's a great story. And here we have a couple of people who agreed to lie but and had absolutely no reason for it. None. Not one good reason why they lied here. And then we'll talk about what does lies hurt? What kind of consequences and damages do lies do? Acts chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, she knew about it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Was it remain? Was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. What did he do? He died. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. Aren't you glad that God isn't like this anymore? None of us would be here tonight, would we? We'd be dead as a doornail a long time ago. And all God's people said, amen. Look, you better be thankful that you serve a gracious God. Verse number 6, and the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together? Now you know back in verse number 2, it said she was privy to it. They made an agreement. This is what we're going to tell the preacher. This is what we're going to tell the apostles. We're going to take this much money. We're going to say this is what we have to offer, and we're going to keep the rest for what? Ourselves. Well, see, they didn't have to give any of it. Do you guys understand? There was no command for them to give anything. They just decided to make up a lie together. And I want you to show you the importance of this. Peter said unto her, verse 9, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit, capital S, of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead. And carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. You know, lying hurts, doesn't it? And getting someone on board with your lie doesn't make your lie any better. Y'all all right? You agree with me and help me cover this up, and maybe I'll return the favor. You know what I'm talking about? God will never bless that. God killed them both. See what I'm saying? There's some dangers in lying. Getting someone else in your lie or foolishness does not make it right. It gets worse, and it hurts worse. Here's some quotes about lying. Lying to ourselves is more deeply ingrained than lying to others. You know, think about that. You have to lie to yourself before you ever lie to someone else, don't you? And you know, we should be able to be honest at least with ourselves, right? But you know how much time it takes to really, especially as a saved man and woman, to convince yourself to tell a lie? You know it's wrong. Every single time you think about doing it, the Holy Spirit of God's like, hey, that's a lie. And I'm against lying. As a matter of fact, I hate lying. I hate lying lips. It's an abomination unto me. And you battle with the flesh and the spirit and the flesh and the spirit, and you're like, oh, and then you tell the lie. Why? How about this one? A liar will not be believed even when he speaks the truth. How about the boy who cried what? Wolf. There's a wolf. Here comes the village people. There was no wolf, was there? Second day, there's a wolf. No wolf. The third day, oh, there was a wolf, wasn't there? And he cried wolf, and guess what happened? They didn't believe him. A liar will not be believed even when he speaks the truth. How would you like to establish yourself as a liar and then really get in a spot in life where you actually need some help and come to someone and all they say about you is you are a what? Even if you're telling the truth. Can I say this? A half-truth is a whole lie. I really like this statement. How many like Abe Lincoln in here? Anybody else like Abe Lincoln? I think he was a pretty honorable dude. He loved his Bible. But listen to what he said right here. No man has a good enough memory to be a successful liar. Doesn't that make good sense? No man has a good enough memory to be a successful liar. You ever heard someone try to tell you a lie more than once? Telling about the same story, but you know it's different. That ain't what you said 5 minutes ago, son. Then they'll go tell her, and she'll tell you what he said, and it's a completely different size fish. You know what I'm talking about? Because he don't remember what he said 5 minutes ago. Do you really want to be established as that kind of person? I don't know about you, but I don't. How about this one? I detest the man who hides one thing in the depths of his heart and speaks forth another. See, here's the problem. You lie, but it still doesn't change the truth. You say, I didn't do that. Well, you might convince your wife you didn't do it. You might convince the preacher you didn't do it. You might even convince your children that you're innocent. But you did it. The person that was involved with you knows you did it. God knows that you did it. You're still an abomination to Him because you lied. Amen? And you still got to lay down every night and think about, when are they ever going to find out? See, that's the real problem with a lie is you think it don't hurt, but you know you're constantly looking over your shoulder wondering, you know, you're always checking things, making sure you got all your, you know, I's dotted and your T's crossed so nobody finds out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's a terrible way to live. You know that? You should not have to live with secrets. Because the Bible says nothing is secret. Nothing will be hid. It will all be made known abroad someday. So why not just tell the truth? I wonder what you're hiding tonight. Who have you lied to other than God and yourself? Or better yet, who are you lying to other than God and yourself? Can I say this? Lying always hurts someone. What are some consequences of lying? Well, here's just a few. How about damaged relationships? You ever seen a relationship damaged because of a lie? You know, we like to say the relationships are all damaged because of the act. Listen, you know, most acts could probably be forgiven if there'd just be some truth involved. You know how many marriages that I have seen? How many wives that I've seen forgive their husbands in a counseling room when he was finally ready just to tell her the truth of what he'd done wrong? But if I tell her the truth, she'll... No, she already knows you messed up, pal. The problem is you're not man enough to tell her you messed up. Hello? I've seen many wives break down and wrap their arms around their husbands after their husbands told them the truth. And their marriage was saved. Because why? Because God always works in truth. Always. Now, I'm not saying go out and do something dumb, guys. What I'm saying is, if you have done something dumb, and you know she knows, or vice versa, ladies, if you've done something crazy and you know he knows, and you're just covering it up and you wonder why your marriage ain't peaceful, try being honest. Try confessing. You know what? I did mess up, and I'm really sorry that I did that. And it might not be easy right away, but you know what she'll be able to do? She'll be able to know that you told her the truth, and she'll respect you for that. Y'all okay? God always works in truth. Damaged relationships, consequences. Lying can damage relationships, and consequences may include apologizing and rebuilding trust. You know how hard it is to say I'm sorry? Especially after years. How about decreased self-esteem? Lying can decrease self-esteem and increase negative feelings. How about guilt and shame? You ever know someone walks around all the time with guilt? Just mad all the time, worried all the time. Just got that look of shame all over them. Lots of teenagers may experience guilt and shame as a result of their dishonesty, which can affect their self-esteem and overall well-being. Strained relationships. Lying can create tension and strain in a parent-teen relationship. We've talked about that, leading to increased conflicts and breakdowns in communication. And number five, can I say this? The lying tongue will be cut down. Abroad, all of them. Every single liar is going to be cut down. Go with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 12. God will get you. Your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Now, I'm not saying God's out there chasing you, but what I'm telling you is God is truth. He only works in truth, and he knows the truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? make you free. Listen, God knows where you are in life. Proverbs 12:19, the Bible says, the lip of truth shall be established for how long? Forever. But look at this. But a lying tongue is but for what? Folks, listen. In the end, truth's going to win. Amen? The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. After it's all said and done, every lie that we have ever told, every lie that we have ever believed will be cast out, and God's word, the truth, and Jesus Christ will stand for eternity. Miss Barb's going to come to the piano tonight. Listen, I told you it wouldn't be long. You've listened well. But I think it's a subject that you're not going to hear preached everywhere anymore. As a matter of fact, you'd be hard-pressed to go to many churches and find a preacher to preach on sin anymore. They all want to preach on feeling good and doing good and God is love and accept this and accept that. Look, I'll tell you what. I believe in acceptance because Jesus Christ will accept any one of you. But he hates your sin. He hates all of your sin. But he loves you so much. Miss Barb's going to start playing. He loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, to die for you. Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight. As the piano's playing, no one's looking around. I wonder how many of you would say, Brother Drew, you've talked about the anger, the wrath, the malice, the blasphemy, the filthy communication. And then Paul had to go into it. He had to talk about lying. Listen, no one looking around tonight. I'm not here to embarrass you or call you out.